taking TARP to task.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. In just a couple of hours, President Obama is expected to announce new help for homeowners and small businesses. He'll also unveil new efforts to open up the $700 billion bank bailout fund, aka TARP, to smaller community banks. The Troubled Asset Relief Program got a report card this morning from a Treasury Department watchdog, and let's just say there's some room for improvement. TARP's Inspector General Neil Barofsky issued the report. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson fills us in.
TARP Inspector General Neil Barofsky says in his quarterly report that the bank rescue did keep the banks from collapsing, but he had some tough criticism of the program as well. He says the Treasury Department hasn't been transparent enough about how the loans are being spent by the banks that got them. And on CNBC this morning, Barofsky said this.
Because of the moral hazard, because of some of the systemic risks that are associated with making these institutions bigger and bigger, trimming their competition, and giving them the opportunity to take more and more risk, systemically, we may be in a more dangerous place even than when we were a year ago.
Barofsky says the TARP fund has $317 billion in it right now, and he expects banks to pay back their lot before the program winds down. But he says the money lent to AIG, the insurance company, and to the car companies may not be repaid at all. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
We got a lot of good news from those big banks this morning. Wells Fargo announced its third quarter profit nearly doubled. It earned more than $3 billion between July and October. U.S. Bank Corp saw profits jump more than 4%, thanks mostly to its mortgage banking operations. And Morgan Stanley posted its first quarterly profit of the year. If there is one thing Wall Street loves, it's banks making money. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.4% this morning to 10,085. The NASDAQ is up 0.75% to 2179. The S&P 500 up 0.6% to 1098. Continental Airlines and AirTran both posted solid earnings results. The carriers credited cost-cutting measures. Things weren't so good for plane maker Boeing, though. It reported a loss of more than $1.5 billion. Here to talk planes with us is industry analyst Alex Hamilton. He follows Boeing for Jessup and Lamont in New York. Hi, Alex.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So tell me, why is Boeing losing money right now?
Well, they've had some issues. I think highly publicized program, the 787, which is a new aircraft that they're attempting to launch. A large portion of the write-off was related to that. There's also a new cargo plane that they're trying to get out as well, which is the 747-8. About a third of that charge was related to that.
I know that Boeing's had a lot of struggles with the long-awaited 787 Dreamliner passenger plane. What about that? Is that going to get off the ground anytime soon?
Well, management came out and reiterated their guidance and basically said they expect the first flight, that their guidance there has not changed. They expect the first flight by the end of the year in the next few months.
Will anybody buy it when it's ready, though? It seems like it might be kind of a tough market right now.
Well, that is true, and that's one of my concerns over Boeing. But the reality is the 787 is still the best-selling launch aircraft ever. There's still 800-plus orders for it. I think the question becomes, the longer the plane gets programmed, are there going to be cancellations? Will cancellations escalate on the 787?
I feel like we can't talk about Boeing without talking about its European nemesis, Airbus. How is Airbus doing by comparison?
Well, you know, let's not lose sight, and I think people do lose sight over this, that we're in a secular downturn, just commercial aerospace. You know, the stocks came down for more reasons than just the economy, the malaise, if you will, for lack of a better word. But we're the commercial aerospace cycle is at a point where it's coming down. So Airbus is suffering from that. And remember, Boeing and Airbus are the only two competitors in that space. One would argue that Boeing actually has a little bit more of a competitive advantage because the dollar is weak. So if you look at a U.S. Good, a Boeing good relative to an Airbus good, which is European, certainly the cost of the American product is better. But Boeing's been having a lot of issues.
Alex Hamilton is with Jessup and Lamont in New York. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
We've been hearing a lot about health care in recent months, and the debate on Capitol Hill has brought something to light you may not know, that health insurance companies are exempt from antitrust laws so they can fix prices. Legislation being considered today could change that. Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
The House Judiciary Committee is considering a bill that would lift the health insurance industry's exemption from antitrust law. Congress passed the exemption in 1945. It was supposed to be temporary, a way to ease insurers into regulation. But it's still on the books because of some behind-the-scenes maneuvering. All these years later, health insurance companies can still get together and decide what to charge you and what to pay your doctor. J. Robert Hunter is with the Consumer Federation of America. He says consumers would be surprised to learn that rules prohibiting price fixing don't apply to health insurers.
When you tell them that insurance companies are allowed to get together and do things that the corner, you know, baker couldn't do with the bakery across the street, most people get upset when they hear that.
Antitrust lawyer Jay Angoff says without the antitrust exemption, health insurers would have to compete.
What repealing the antitrust exemption would do would be to force them to become more competitive or go out of business.
Angoff says that competition could lead to lower prices for you and me. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Attention job seekers, Procter & Gamble wants you to write a bathroom blog. The company is hiring 5 Charmin ambassadors to staff its Times Square bathroom for about 5 weeks this holiday season and blog about the experience. The pay is $10,000, so you could say the bloggers will be flush with cash. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.